This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 986, How to Deliver a Speech Like Michelle Obama.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 50 million times. We believe in connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Boston and New York City, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. You have a presentation or speech coming up soon? In today's episode, we'll review top tips from Michelle Obama's speechwriter. We'll show you which ones will help you become a better public speaker in English.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, Lindsay, how's it going?
Hey, not bad, Michelle. I've come down with a little bit of a head cold, and I have a vacation that I'm going on in just a couple of days, so I'm thinking, whoa, I got to get better.
Oh, no. Oh, I hope you feel better, Lindsay.
Yeah, thank you. But, you know, podcasting always makes me feel better, so I'm sure I will.
That's good. Do you have any tips or, like, what do you do to try and feel better when you...
Well, I've started taking this stuff called Emergen-C, which is just this powder that you're supposed to take it more when you feel something coming on, like the day before or something. But like I was a little late to start taking it, but now I'm just downing it. I'm downing it like five times a day.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, good luck with that. Well, I guess that was a plug for Emergen-C.
Yeah. I'm just like filling, like inundating my body with vitamin C. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck. I hope you feel better for sure.
Thanks.
So I have a question for you.
All right. I'm ready.
Have you ever heard that people are actually... There's like a percentage of people who are more afraid of public speaking than they are of death.
Yes, I've heard that. Now, is that just in the US or is that a worldwide international statistic?
I have no idea. But yeah, I've heard it. I'm not sure from where. I feel like I want to look into it because it's so, I mean, I've definitely heard that a ton of times.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, I mean, it's such a huge fear. And I see that. I see that with my students that people are very afraid of public speaking. Are you afraid of public speaking, Lindsay?
I am when I don't know the material that well and when I'm not super passionate. If I'm really passionate about the topic, then I feel like that can transcend my fear, my anxiety a little bit. I can get up there and I can just speak straight from the heart. But when I'm kind of like, you know, neutral about what I'm saying, I don't know it very well, then yeah, I would get really nervous.
Right. I'm one of those strange people that actually gets a kick out of public speaking.
That's awesome. I don't know.
I think because I studied theater and like, you know, like I have a good time. Like I think it's not that I don't get nervous, and I always get very quiet when I get nervous, very quiet before a speech or something like that. But I think also teaching and all these things, it's just kind of like throwing myself out there.
Yeah. No, that's great though. That's so good, Michelle.
Thank you. So yeah, but people definitely have a fear of public speaking. It's very understandable. So, we have this great article. It's from bustle.com and it's, by Iman Hariri Kia, and it was from about mid-June. And I thought that this could be a really good thing to talk about today. So the title is How to Overcome Your Fear of Public Speaking, according to Michelle Obama's speechwriter.
Okay. Interesting.
So what do you think about Michelle Obama's public speaking skills?
Yeah. I mean, I know she's a great speaker. I mean, she's also very, very smart. She is a lawyer, I think. I think, you know, did you ever see that movie about how Michelle and Michelle Obama and Barack Obama met? I think they met in Chicago.
Oh, no, I did. You saw it?
Yeah, like it's a great movie.
I want to watch it.
Oh, what's, how, like they met
in Chicago when she was in a law firm, and he just came in as like an intern or like an entry level person. Aww. And she was quite far above him, and he was kind of pestering her for a date and all this stuff. But yeah, I mean, the two of them, both of them really have great public speaking skills and an amazing professional presence. Absolutely. And I'm excited actually that we're talking about Michelle Obama today.
Yeah.
Because the typical would be to talk about Barack Obama, and that's great. He's great. But let's talk about Michelle.
Yes. Besides for sharing a name with her, I love Michelle Obama, and I always have. I think she's just so elegant and just like a really, just really someone that people can look up to. And I love her public speaking skills. She really is very inspiring, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get into it. I mean, so she has a speechwriter, or had one, maybe still has one. Yeah. And in this article, we're going to like share some highlights and then comment on them, what we think.
Definitely, definitely. So we're not going to, it has a ton of tips, and we'll give you guys the link. So this is by Sarah Hurwitz. This is, okay. I mean, this is her speechwriter's name. And she was giving tips at the 2018 Teen Vogue Summit, it looks like. So these are more about how to improve your public speaking skills, how to be a better public speaker. But I think that this goes into the fear, right? About just if you're better at it, you're not going to be as you know, scared. So we're going to go through some of the tips that I thought were the best. And like I said, we'll give you the links. And hopefully, you know, as you continue to improve, that fear will go down a little bit.
Definitely. So I think our listeners are going to be ready for this, because I'm sure some of you guys are having to give speeches in English, and it's terrifying. I mean, when you bring it into your non-native language, your second language, that's really scary, but we're going to help you guys out today.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, great. So, Lindsay, what is the first tip that we're going to talk about?
So the first tip from Sarah is write to be heard, not read.
Write to be heard. Not read. So this one, it makes me think of being in class, because I think it's really easy to focus on writing out a speech word for word and thinking of it as more of writing a paper, right? So right. They talk about how like you can get stuck, right? If you're going to write for someone to read it, you're going to be thinking about grammar and punctuation. And it talks about here how writing and speaking are different. So you should be writing with the idea that you are speaking, and not that someone is just going to read this. And I think it's important to remember that. And I've had this with students a lot, where people are so focused on, you know, all the nitty gritty of, you know, the writing, and it's not going to sound the same as if you're writing to speak something. What do you think, Lindsay?
Oh, yeah, Michelle, I think you're right. I mean, we've all been in the room when someone is giving a speech and it's stiff and it literally has the tone of reading a book.
Right.
And it's painful. You know, it's painful for the audience. It's painful for the presenter. It's just not the way you want to go. I mean, who's going to read your notes? No one but you. Right? This is a speech. So we're focusing on verbal expression, not writing everything out correctly and then reading it back as if you were reading a book or reading a novel or something.
Right. I mean, for my students, I always say, it's like kind of my, I don't know why I always say this to students, that with their speeches, when they're practicing, if it's a speaking class that I'm teaching, I want to grade your speeching. Oh my God, what is wrong with me today? Your speaking. I'm not looking to grade your writing, right? I want to hear how your speaking is, right? Mm-hmm. And, I personally think that it's good to use bullet points, like, so as not to sound robotic. And also you have to practice to sound natural.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, that's a big piece of it, right? Is practicing, because it's going to be impossible to sound natural as a spoken speech if you're not practicing.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. So, I think that this is a really good tip. What's the next one, Lindsay?
Okay, so she says, think about what you want the people to leave the room knowing. Yeah, it's like, what's the point, right? What's the point? That's the only thing that matters.
Right. Yeah, I love this one, because, you know, basically it talks about how you have to keep your focus on the main takeaways, right? So your audience leaves knowing what they listen to and why. And then if you keep these in mind, it's going to shape the way you write your speech. And that's the same way for me for teaching. You know, I always have to think, well, what do I want my students to know by the end of class? And Lindsay, what do you think about this for how we plan our episodes?
For sure. I mean, you guys know that we always have a takeaway. We usually have a takeaway, and we tried to make that very clear. We go back and we think, okay, what is the one thing or two things that we want to come away with? All the rest is details, but what do we want? What kind of impact do we want to make on you guys, right? What do we want you to feel or know or understand to connect better?
Right, right, exactly. Because if you leave thinking like, what did I just listen to? Like, we haven't really done any service, right?
Yeah, exactly, Michelle.
Right, right, exactly. So I think this is really important for when you're planning a speech. Yeah, that just to keep these things in mind, because that's going to keep your audience listening more when they're thinking, oh, I really want to know, like, you know, I want to get to the main idea. I want to get to the takeaways.
Hey guys, we hope that you are loving the All Ears English podcast. And if you are taking the IELTS exam, you can go even deeper into building those IELTS skills with our IELTS Energy podcast. Go into the iTunes store or Stitcher app or however you get your podcast and search for IELTS Energy podcast and hit subscribe. We'll give you the tips you need to get your 7 or higher. See you there.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Okay, cool. What's next?
All right. Now, we had a couple that were kind of similar that I liked. One is talk like a human being and use your own voice. Okay. So this kind of talks is a little bit about the writing. But it says, you know, basically, you know, try and be yourself. Don't be like too flowery with your language or formal. And I hate to bring this up, but it makes me think of Donald Trump. Not that that's a good thing, but a lot of Trump supporters say that they like the way he talks because it's not like a politician.
I mean, he's a branding professional, right? He's a marketing professional. That's kind of what he does, what he's always done, right? So in that sense, he's very smart. Like, he understands how to talk to an audience. That's what politicians, when they succeed, what they do well. I mean, Obama did the same thing in some ways, but he elevated the conversation a lot more, right? Yeah. But he connected with his audience. But I think Trump especially really uses specific language that triggers that base. A very specific kind of person.
Oh, for sure.
But so, that's another topic. But yeah,
I'm not saying that you should try and speak like Donald Trump. Actually, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
But, because that's really going to not sound good. But I think, though, that, yeah, he is certainly not too formal. And, you know, so just, you know, keeping it in mind that you don't want to sound robotic, that you don't want to sound like you're, you know, you want to, it also depends on the audience, of course, to keep that in mind. Is this really formal? Then, of course, you're going to up it up. You're going to, like, increase, you know, you're going to change your language for that, right?
Yeah. Like, it actually makes me think, I even remember Obama when he was speaking, when he spoke in the South, I think I remember he would, like, trail off by dropping the ING, like, come in. Like, I'd hear, like, instead of coming here, come in here, come in here. Like, I would hear that sometimes. And I'd think, wow, like, where is he speaking? Like, what is he doing? He's trying to sound like a local person a little bit.
Right.
Did you ever notice that in his speeches?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I love the way he speaks, so I should listen to some old ones. But it also makes me think of the word folks. That politicians always use this word folks, which I hate because, you know, I hear it all the time. But they do it to try and connect with, like, the average person.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, wow. There's a lot here. I mean, there's a bunch of episodes we could do. We could take this in a bunch of different directions. But I think for this point, I mean, using your own voice, right?
Yeah, voice. Yes, that's the key.
Yeah. What is your voice? I mean, politicians have to change their voice based on where they are. Are they in the American South? Are they in the Northeast? Different group of people, right? But you want to be authentic. I mean, we use our own voices on this show quite a bit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, that's, you know, hopefully that's effective. And, you know, it makes, you know, definitely connects us to our audience because they realize that we're real people, you know?
Exactly. You got it, Michelle.
Okay. And the last two, I think these ones are kind of cool and unique. What is this next one, Lindsay?
So she says, utilize the top half of the page only. What the heck does that mean? What?
Okay, this is really so cool, confused. And I never thought about this. So this Hurwitz, she says, to only write on the top half or the top two-thirds so that you don't, because if you only write on the top, if you write like all the way to the bottom of the page, you're going to have to bend your neck more to look down at the bottom of the page. And if you look down, it makes it harder for people to see your face and it's harder for you to speak.
So you're talking about here, Michelle, if we're standing at a podium, right? Mm-hmm. With a page down on the podium. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm. Or, I mean, I guess if you're using index cards or, I mean, that's a little bit different. But if you are using a piece of paper, I'm not sure what she would say in that situation. But basically, just try not to, if you were reading something, try and, you know, make it so that you're as comfortable as possible. I guess that's the main part.
Oh, very
interesting. So people can see you.
Yeah, I mean, keeping the head up. There's something about body language, and we've done episodes like Amy Cuddy had a TED Talk that I think we talked about on this show actually way back when, about the importance of like having the right body language. And that's part of this too, having your chin up, your shoulders back. Yeah. So whatever you can do to get your body aligned in that direction will actually elevate your voice and make you sound more confident.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sound and look more confident. And yeah, that's part of what, you know, fake it till you make it. That's what we say. Even if you're nervous, if you look, you know, confident and get comfortable in that kind of position with your body, then you're going to give off a different impression than if you're kind of like, you know, looking down and, you know, not making eye contact, that type of thing.
Yeah. And that's a real hack for our listeners, right? That's a real shortcut because we're not going to be perfect, right? Connection, not perfection. But how does that actually work in a speech? You guys, we know and not everything is going to be perfect in that speech. But the one thing you can control is your body language,
right?
And the confidence that you convey despite making all those mistakes.
Right, right, right. So yeah, so that's a little bit of a hack. I mean, you know, I'm not encouraging you to go out and waste a ton of paper, but it might help you in this situation. So, okay, we got one more for our listeners, Lindsay. What's this last one?
So Sarah says, you cannot rely on the audience. Mm. Interesting.
Okay, so yeah. This, I think, is very important because I think part of the fear is worrying so much about what the audience thinks. And of course, that's natural and you want to do a good job and it's, you know, you have to think about them a little bit. But basically, Hurwitz talks about how it's really hard to impress an audience. And if you get up there and you don't feel a real connection with the audience, don't worry. Don't like, oh my gosh, it's over, right? Yeah. The key is in that moment to be excited about, you know, the topic, to be excited about what you're talking about, have passion, and that this will really drive your speech. What do you think, Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, connect with the topic. If the audience doesn't connect with the topic, it may not be about you. It might be about the topic itself, right? They're just not interested.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I think the best we can do is just show up, try to be strong, connect with the material, and try to engage the audience. But sometimes you can't control other people. You just can't control what they do, right, guys? So don't let that be an automatic indication of how well you did in the speech. Right. It might have a lot more to do with like, okay, what happened that morning to the audience member? Did they like spill their coffee on their lap or something? Right. And then their leg hurts or something. I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Right. So don't let that make it like Lindsay said, don't make that the whole reason you feel successful or unsuccessful in your speech. And especially while you're making it, you know, just take the pressure off of yourself. Focus on the content and how you feel about it. Right. And you should feel, you know, passionate about what you're talking about. Hopefully, I know it's not always going to be that way, but just focus on the content. The rest will follow. Right.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, Michelle, what's the takeaway today? What do we want to leave our listeners with?
Well, guys, if you need to give a speech or you want to give a speech, maybe this is a part of, you know, work for you or whatever it may be. You know, there are a lot of tips on how you can improve. And if you follow these tips and really practice it and take it to heart, I think that your fear will start to diminish. I mean, it's always going to be there a little bit, I think. But, I think that the most important ones basically say to be yourself, be comfortable, speak naturally, and take away the pressure. That's what I think, Lindsay. Any other ideas?
Yeah, I mean, just if you know you're afraid of speaking in public, don't procrastinate until the day before, then try to practice.
No.
Take a proactive role, right? Like, maybe join Toastmasters. If you know you have a speech coming up, let's say in a month, join Toastmasters and actually attack that, what you feel is a weakness, like actually approach it, right? With like your shoulders back. Like, that's a good gesture in life, right? We have a challenge, something we feel we're not good at. We're going to get better at it. We're not going to shy away and then panic the night before. We're going to take it on. Take on the challenge.
Exactly, guys. So, you know, we'll leave you guys the link to this article so you can see all of the tips. And yeah, any final thoughts, Lindsay? Are we good to go?
Yeah. I mean, I want to go back and watch some of these speeches by Michelle Obama, Barack Obama. I mean, anyone who is a good speaker, also model them, watch them, you know, watch their great speeches.
Right. Try and find someone that you connect with and that you want to kind of, to be your role model for giving speeches.
Yeah. So cool. So cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for bringing in this article today. Very interesting and very useful for our listeners who might be giving any speeches this summer in English. Good luck, guys.
Sure. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening and have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to All Ears English. And if you need a 7 or higher on your IELTS exam to achieve your life vision, then our insider method can get you there. Start with our free video series masterclass. Get video 1 now at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then subscribe to our show on your phone or on your computer. See you next time.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.